Church Unlimited, how are we doing this beautiful Sunday morning? Good to see you guys today. It is great to see y'all. I am very excited to be with you this morning. I'm also excited because me being with you means our lead and senior pastor, Bill Cornelius, gets to rest today. And really quickly, I just want to give honor where honor is due. Can we give it up for our lead pastors, Bill and Jessica Cornelius? Love you guys dearly. Thank you so much for trusting me with today. And I wouldn't be where I am as a man if it were not for you. So thank you so much. Love you guys. I want to take a moment to welcome everybody from everywhere into service today. Here at Church Unlimited, we're like Whataburger. We just got them all around Texas. Got a Church Unlimited on every block, right? Welcome. It's good to see you all here today. Also, welcome to those of you joining us online today, and of course, those joining through our prison ministries. Very excited to be with you all here today. As a matter of fact, I want to take a moment to say our mission statement together as a church. Many of you are familiar with it, and we'd love to say it together. Would you say it with me really quickly? Our mission statement here at Church Unlimited is to take as many people to heaven as we can before we die, period. That's what we're all about here at Church Unlimited. I'm very excited to read to you guys today out of 1 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to read to you verses 13 through 22. Now, I'm going to ask that if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. Meet me there. It's going to be 1 Kings 7, 13 through 22, or you can follow along on the screen. But I want to encourage you to follow along because we're going to read a lot of scripture on the front end. A lot of scripture, a lot of details. And maybe if you're like me today, you found yourself reading the Bible and you're like, why are there all these details? It feels like there's always just paragraph upon paragraph of lineage at time, or paragraph on paragraph of just little details, the color of things, the types of metals that were used. But there's a reason for that. We're going to dive into that today because sometimes there's power in the little details. There's power in little details. We're going to read, again, 1 Kings 7, 13 through 22. Really want to ask you guys to lean in on the scripture right here. Picking up in verse 13. Now King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all of his work. Picking up in verse 15 now, which says this, he cast two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, in a line of 12 cubits, measured the circumference of each. Then he made two capitals of cast bronze to set on the tops of the pillars. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. He made a lattice network with wreaths of chain work for the capitals which were on top of the pillars. 7 chains for one capital, and 7 chains for the other capital. So he made the pillars in 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around to cover the capitals that were on top, and thus he did for the other capital. The capitals which were on top of the pillars in the hall were in the shape of lilies. This is important. Remember this. The shape of the top of the pillars in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits to be exact in size. Verse 20 goes on to say this, the capitals on the 2 pillars also had pomegranates above by the convex surface, which was next to the network, and there were 200 such pomegranates in rows on each of the capitals all around. Then he set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the right and called its name Jason or Jachin, and set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. This is important. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. So the work of the pillars was finished. Not until the top of the pillar, not until the lily work was finished, was the pillar finished. And not until the pillars were finished could the temple be finished. Church Unlimited, I want to talk to you from an idea today, and it's an idea that we will find in this narrative, despite all of those fine details. The idea I want to talk to you about today is this, the power of doing the unseen. The power of doing the unseen. Many years ago, there was a journalist who had an opportunity to spend some time with the late, great basketball legend, Kobe Bryant. And this journalist went to Kobe and asked him, Kobe, I want to see what it's like to be in the day, to live a life in the day of Kobe Bryant. It was in the midst of Kobe's prime after Kobe had won two back-to-back championships. We know he won 5 in total. A complete basketball legend. NBA players today emulate his game. They wear his sneakers. They even wear his armbands. And they even bite their jerseys because that's what he would do when he was in the zone. People want to be like Kobe Bryant. But there were some things about Kobe Bryant that made him different and made him special than everybody else. The journalist asked, Kobe, can I just get in your head for a day? Would you let me just see what a day in the life of you looks like? And Kobe said, absolutely. But here's the catch. If you're going to do this, your day starts when my day starts. So Kobe said, you're going to meet me at 4 o'clock. He said, a.m. or p.m.? Kobe said, a.m. The next day goes by. The journalist shows up to the practice facility to find Kobe Bryant, not there to greet him. No, no, no. Kobe was already on the basketball court doing drills. Not only was Kobe already there, but Kobe was already drenched in sweat. This indicates he's been there for a while already. And the journalist thought he would be greeted by Kobe. He was never greeted. Kobe didn't say a word to him. Kobe just kept on doing his drills. But the journalist noticed something interesting about what Kobe was doing. Kobe was not practicing the things we know Kobe Bryant for. He wasn't doing anything flashy. He wasn't working on his signature fadeaway. He wasn't doing anything that we know Kobe Bryant for. He wasn't working on the highlight reel classic Kobe that we've all come to know and love. No, no, no. Kobe was just under the basket, shooting the ball with one arm, over and over and over again. He would go to the other side of the basket, switch hands, and he would just shoot the ball with one arm, over and over and over again. Soon, Kobe would just take a step back and continue shooting with one arm over and over and over again. Then Kobe would work on some balance work. He would work on balance. He would work on footwork. And Kobe was not doing anything we would expect Kobe Bryant to do during a practice. Eventually, the journalist gets fed up and he's like, Kobe, what are you doing, man? This is not the Kobe Bryant I came to see. I came to see the Kobe Bryant that hits the toughest shots. You've hit the most game winners in history. I came to see the Kobe Bryant that hits the baseline fadeaway. Where's the contested three-point shot? Where's the dunk package at? Kobe, this is not the Kobe we've come to know and love. And Kobe Bryant responds brilliantly. And he says, well, you see, the thing is, I never get tired of the basics. I never get tired of the basics. Because the truth is, Kobe Bryant recognizes something that we need to recognize today. That the truth is, there is power in doing the unseen. There is power in doing things that won't be on a highlight reel, that the world's never going to notice. But there's power in doing the little things that no one else notices or will ever realize. Kobe's legacy was made possible because he was willing to do in private what people really only want to do in public. Kobe Bryant recognizes the power of doing things that you might not ever get noticed for or get credit for. Kobe's legacy was made possible because of the things he did that no one would ever see. And today, in the narrative we just read, I promise we're going to see how there is power in doing the things that no one else will notice. There is power in doing the unseen. In the verse we just read, I know it's a lot of details, but there's a reason. The details are there. Sometimes we get lost in them. But there's power in those little details. See, Solomon has this vision to build a temple for the Lord, and it's actually a vision passed on from his father David. David never got around to it, so Solomon's like, okay, I'm going to carry this on, and I'm going to build this temple now. Now, Solomon being the wisest king to ever live, he was incredibly wealthy. Everybody would not mind being Solomon. Solomon recognizes something important, and he knows if I'm going to build this temple, I need somebody of the highest caliber, incredibly gifted, who also understands some of the traditions and the faith needed for this. I need someone special to build this temple. And we see Solomon reach out to a man named Hiram. He reached out to a man named Hiram. Now, the reason he reaches out to Hiram is because Hiram is a man with the right credentials. See, the truth is, to build this temple, whoever's building it would need to be of great knowledge and skill. They would need essentially to be an engineer, a master of metalwork, and an artist all at once. I actually have a picture of this temple that I would like to show you guys today. This is the picture of the temple. See, the temple, it is estimated that it took 7.5 years to build this temple. Not only did it take 7.5 years to build the temple, it's estimated it took 120,000 men to build it. Now, you may be here today saying, wow, that took forever to build. I would say, wow, that was really fast of them to build. Just for reference, it took roughly 5 years to build the building we are in right now. And it took them 7.5 years to build that without the technology that we have today. 120,000 men, 7.5 years to build it. This is what's interesting, is Solomon needs to reach out to someone who's so gifted they can build it. And this is what's interesting about Hiram. The first couple times that I've read this passage, I never came across the fact that Hiram is actually a king himself. He had a nickname, the Artisan King. He was a great builder and a great artist, and he was actually a king of another kingdom called Tyre. Tyre still exists to this day. Tyre at that time was a part of Phoenicia. Now it's modern-day Lebanon. So we have one king, Solomon, asking another king for a favor. Need I remind you the egos and the attitudes that come with kings during this present time? You do not ask one king a favor. You especially do not tell a king, hey, I know you have your own kingdom that you're focused on right now, but could you remove your focus off of your kingdom, and could you come over here and build the greatest temple and use your best resources, not for your kingdom, but could you do it for mine? Hiram not only does it, but Hiram does it with excellence. Hiram takes pride in doing it. Hiram does it with the best attitude. Could it be that Hiram understands something that we at times struggle with? Could it be that Hiram realizes, I know it's in my flesh, I want to just focus on my kingdom and my life and the things that I'm building, but if I just take my eyes off my kingdom and put my eyes on God's kingdom, I know God will take care of mine. Could it be that Hiram understood a truth? Come on, somebody. Could it be that Hiram understood a truth? That whenever we take our eyes off of our own kingdoms and our own worlds and we want to be the kings of our own lives, that whenever we put our eyes on God's kingdom and we build his, he builds ours. The truth is, when you build God's kingdom, he takes care of yours. And that is why, as long as Israel flourished, Tyre flourished as well. The truth is, true blessings go to those who build God's kingdom over their own. And we struggle with this. We find a way to complicate the necessary building blocks to a kingdom. We find a way to complicate principles that go towards building God's kingdom because we let our flesh get in the way. How dare you ask 10% for 10%, God? How dare you ask that? Don't you know I need that 10% to go towards my kingdom? How dare you ask me to tithe to build your kingdom? God, how dare you ask me to give an hour of my time on Sunday to serve after I've already attended? Don't you know that I'm busy building my kingdom and I got to watch the Cowboys play? God, how dare you ask me to take my eyes off my own kingdom? How dare you want me to build your kingdom? But the truth is, it is not a pain. It is actually a blessing and one of the greatest responsibilities to get to build a kingdom outside of yours and get to build a kingdom that is eternal. There is no greater responsibility or privilege we get to take our eyes off ourselves and cast our eyes on God's kingdom and his vision. And we need to be people with a spirit and a mind like Hiram's. Hiram, his lineage is so interesting to me. Yes, he's a king. It makes me wonder, how does a king get so good at artistry and building, and how is he so brilliant? Most kings don't have to learn these things. And so as I'm digging into Hiram, I couldn't help but notice 1 Kings 7, 13 through 14, which says this: Now King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, also a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and had skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all of his work. So this is what's interesting about Hiram, and this is what makes Hiram the man for the job. See, Hiram's father side of things is where things can be kind of tragic, but also kind of interesting. Hiram's father was actually, unfortunately, an idol worshiper and an idol builder. People would build idols and false idols and false temples for other gods at the time. Hiram's father was the best at it. So we have Hiram's father, who happens to be a idol worshiper, but he's also the best builder. The other side of Hiram's lineage, we have his mother. And she is an incredible woman of faith. She goes against the grain. Everybody else eventually begins to believe in false gods, but she believes in the one true God. So Hiram seems to inherit the best of the two. Hiram seems to inherit the giftings and the skills of his father, and he inherits the faithfulness of his mother. And as Solomon is choosing who's going to build the temple of the Lord, he does not have to choose between a man of faith or a man of skill. Could it be that the Bible is painting a picture for us today? Two things. Number one, some opportunity can come from your faith. Number two, some opportunity can come from your giftings. But a God-given assignment, that goes to those who have both. And if you want to walk in purpose and you want to walk in a God-given assignment, Solomon is always going to call out to the Hirams who recognize it's not one or the other. I want what's best for my life. I know I got to walk on assignment and on purpose. I'm going to be a man of faith and I'm going to apply my giftings and skills for the kingdom. Are you a Hiram? Are you a Hiram? I love Hiram's mindset. See, Hiram is, he doesn't get caught up in his flesh. How dare you ask me to do this? Hiram recognizes his skill and wants to build a temple outside of his own kingdom. No king would ever do that. It breaks my heart to think about the person who is so skilled. You are so skilled and so brilliant, but you have no faith. There will come a day where you realize your skill set will only get you so far. And it also breaks my heart to see so many people who are faith-filled men and women of God, and they're filled with faith, but they're not utilizing the skill set God has bestowed upon them to advance the kingdom. Are you a Hiram? Because a Hiram is not someone with one or the other. When God chooses people to build his kingdom, he always calls those who have both. Are you a Hiram? We need to use the giftings he's given us, the abilities that he's given us, the things we just excel in. He has not given them to you to build your kingdom. He gave them to you to build his. Are you a Hiram? I love how Hiram takes so much pride in building this kingdom, even though he's never going to get the credit for it. He's never going to get the credit. First Kings 7, 21 through 22 says this. This is what's so interesting to me about all those details we read. I couldn't help but notice how they weren't done building until the pillar was finished. Text says this, then he set up the pillars by the vestibules of the temple. He set up the pillar on the right and called its name Jason or Jachin. And he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. So then the work of the pillars was finished. This text got me thinking. Why is he so obsessed with the top of the pillar? It's been, I can only imagine, all 120,000 men around Hiram thinking they're done. Boss, it's done. The pillars, we made them out of bronze, and then we dipped them in gold. So much work went into the pillars themselves. They're already glorious enough. Hiram, we finished, boss. We're good to go, right? We can set up the temple and close up shop and call it a day. We can open up the doors of the temple tomorrow, can't we? And here comes Hiram, the perfectionist. Hey, I know it's coated in bronze. I know it's built in bronze and then coated in gold. And I know you guys have worked so hard and it's taken so long. But we're going to just take our time here because the pillar can't be done until the top is finished. The pillar isn't done until the lily work, the lily design on top. Until that is finished, we're not putting the pillars up and the temple isn't opening. And I'm sure they're thinking, Hiram, can we just call it quits, man? You are obsessed with the tops of these pillars. It turns out that the pillars are estimated to be about 35 feet tall. So take three NBA basketball goals, add another 5 feet on top of that. You mean to tell me we're going to put these things up and it's going to be so high up, I'm not even going to be able to really see the details in the design. Plus the sun is out, it's going to be bright. Hiram, why do you care so much about what's on top of the temple? I don't know about you, but I don't know what my roof looks like. I don't know about you, I couldn't even tell you what's in my attic. I don't know what these things look like. And here comes Hiram, who cares so much about something that from man's perspective, they can't even see that well. From man's perspective, they can't even perceive it and really appreciate it. But the key here is there are some things that man can't see from the floor that God can see from the throne. The truth is that there is part of our walk that God should only see. The truth is there should be some parts of our walk, some parts of the pillar should be sacred. It's the things that man can't see that God can see. I don't know if we can really brag about our walks the way we want to if you don't have the lily on top. It breaks my heart to think about all the Christians, the bronze Christians with the gold plating. We're strong in stature. We got the base. 35 feet tall. Wow, look at the glory. We got all these shiny Christians, all the gold-plated Christians. We know how to walk, and we know how to talk, and we know how to really look presentable in the temple, but we're missing out on the lily on top. I don't know if we can really say that we got to walk like that until you have the lily on top, and it breaks my heart to think about the gold-plated Christians who are missing out on the fine details that man can't see, but God can see. I'm not talking about salvation and going to heaven. What I am saying is I think there is a walk Jesus wants you to have, wants us to have, that we don't have until we have the lily on top. There should be some parts of our lives that are sacred. There should be a time, there should be things you say no to because of our integrity that man can't see, but God does see. There should be a prayer life that man doesn't see, but God does see. There should be time in the Word when we're reading that man doesn't see, but God does see. Because the truth is, God sees what man can't see. He's looking for the lily on top. The lily on top. We know that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, but we know he looks at the heart. He's looking for Christians who got the lily on top. And I began to wonder, why the lily? Out of everything that could have been the decorative piece, why the lily? I come to find out that later on when Solomon writes Song of Solomon chapter 2, he references the lily so much. It is as if God gave Hiram some sort of insight of how significant the lily would be to Solomon in his life later on. Hiram just had some sort of heavenly insight given to him, telling him, hey, you're going to want to build a lily on top. When Solomon writes about the lily in Song of Psalms, it's frequently mentioned, and the lily can mean multiple different things, but in this context of this specific passage, we know that the lily is representative of the love that the bride has for the groom. Many times when we read Song of Solomon chapter 2, we envision it as the love that Jesus has for us. But the truth is, it's actually meant to be a picture of the love that we have for him. So when Hiram is being so particular and people are so annoyed with him, he doesn't care what everybody else thinks. He's saying, we are not done until the lily is on the top. Because I know I'm not going to get the credit. No one's going to remember this as Hiram's temple. No one's going to even recognize who brought the resources and supplied the men. All I care about is knowing that God knows I don't care about the credit. All I care about is sending a message that God, all I care about is knowing that I have an intimate one-on-one relationship with you. I don't need affirmation from man. I just need my affirmation from you. I just have a love for you. Hiram does not have an addiction to his achievements. He's saying, I have an addiction to the Lord. And we need more people who are willing to just care about the lily on top. Everybody else cares about the temple and the gold plating and the glory. But from God's perspective, the temple is really just so small. And he doesn't care about this temple. He's looking for the small, intimate, and rare thing on the top. He's looking for the lily. Whenever you put the lily on top, you're saying, Lord, even if I don't get the credit, even if I never get recognized, it doesn't matter because all I need is you. The lily, it's supposed to be symbolic of the love we have for him. The lily. We know when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount in Luke 12, verse 27. He's preaching to people and he's reaching people. And it's so powerful, but there's this phrase he says that I just locked in on. Luke 12, 27 says this, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Consider the lilies. I love this because many theologians point out that when he's saying consider the lilies, he's not saying think about the lilies. Many debate and actually agree that he's actually pointing to a lily, saying behold the lily or look at the lily, learn from the lily. That the area in which he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, there's a particular lily that flourishes and blooms in this particular area. And when Jesus speaks, he always wants it to be easy for everyone to understand. So many people agree he's not just randomly saying, consider the lilies. He's pointing and teaching through a specific lily. Consider the lilies. See, the lilies are persistent. The lilies are so persistent. No matter the season, no matter the terrain, the lily is persistent. We have a young man who's a part of our church who lately has been an inspiration to me. And right now he's going through so much. He's facing so much. He recently just lost a loved one. He recently just lost his mother and finances are hard and things are hard and he doesn't know I know. But that's the beauty of it. The beauty is that he doesn't know anyone knows. And the truth is, if your pastor doesn't know, your pastor will eventually know. So you might as well come clean now. Pastors will always find out, and mothers will always find out. Amen? So you might as well come clean now. Yeah, the bad news is I grew up with a double dose. I had a pastor as my father and a mother. Oh, man. Couldn't get anything past them. But he doesn't know I know, and this young man is going through so much. And what's crazy is he's so exhausted at times that he'll take opportunities sometimes to just to rest his eyes just for a little bit at the end of a Wednesday night. And every time I ask him, hey, like, you good, man? Everything going good? He always has a huge smile on his face. He's the epitome of joy. And he just says, yeah, I'm just working a lot. He doesn't know that I know everything else that's going on. And when I see this young man every Wednesday night with our young adults, when I see him here every Sunday, when I see that young man, I see more than just a young man. When I see him, I see a pillar with the lily on top. When I see him praise despite everything going on in his life, when I see him joyful despite some of the things happening, and I see how faithful he is week after week and how he chooses joy week after week, I cannot help but think that is not just a pillar. That is a pillar with the lily on top. The things man can't see, God does see. Watch this. The story gets better. What's incredible is some people approach me who are part of the ministry. This is not my idea. This is not manufactured in any way. Some other people approached me and they said, hey, we heard about this situation that's going on, and we would love to bless this young man. And this whole time, this young man's struggling. He probably thinks, God, do you even see me? Do you even know what I'm going through? Do you know how hard it is not only am I going through loss, I don't know how I'm going to make it the next day. And maybe you're here today thinking, God, do you even notice me? Do you even see me? God, I'm trying to hold it together for my family, but they don't know the financial stress. God, I'm trying to put a smile on for my kids, and they don't know that I'm just so miserable in my marriage. God, do you even see me? If that's you, can I just encourage you with what Jesus said on the mount? Consider the lilies. Consider the lilies, because God sees what man can't see. And I did some research about this particular lily that theologians agree is most likely the lily that would have been on the mount. And I have a picture that I want to show you today because it's beautiful. This is the lily that they believe Jesus was pointing to. This lily, I don't want to botch the name. The lily is called a Lilium chalcedonicum. A Lilium chalcedonicum. What's so interesting about the lily is most plants, most flowers are what you call annuals. And an annual is a plant or a flower that blooms and dies in one season. Quick and easy. But what makes the lily unique is that the lily is a perennial. And a perennial flower is one that blooms and then withers, but it eventually blooms again season after season after season. When Jesus says, consider the lily, Jesus is saying, the lily, I know you don't feel like you're seen right now, but I see you. And I love to see that no matter the season, no matter the surroundings, no matter the terrain, and no matter the desert that you feel like you are in, I see the lily. Consider the lily. God sees what man can't see. And I think today, for anyone who feels discouraged, just know that God sees what man can't see. Just know that what man can't see from the ground up, God sees from the throne down. Consider the lily. Consider the lilies. Church, will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Father God, thank you so much for today. Lord, we pray right now that this word is one that encourages us, no matter how dark life can feel at times and how unseen we can feel at times. Lord, help us to remember to consider the lilies. When it feels like man doesn't notice and no one sees and no one knows how hard it really is, Lord, we know that you see what man can't see. You have a perspective that man does not have. We know that man can only see the outward appearance, but we know that you see the heart. Lord, we ask that you give us a spirit of Hiram today. Give us a spirit of Hiram so that we don't just focus on building our own kingdom. Let us see the privilege we have in building yours. Lord, let us recognize something we take for granted at times, that we get to have an intimate one-on-one relationship with you. We get to be pillars with the most intricate detail. We have the lily on top. And God, when we feel like no one notices, thank you for the words your son preached at the Sermon on the Mount, saying, consider the lilies. They toil not, and neither do they spin. Thank you so much, Father. Help us to remember to consider the lilies. Right now, Lord, we pray for that person in the room who has not quite made a decision to be a pillar with the lily on top. For that person who has not made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And maybe they've tried so long walking around like they got it all together. They got the shiny bronze and the gold plating, and they know how to sound like everything's going all right, but deep down on the inside, there's a piece they're missing. There's a piece they're missing on top. They're missing that relationship with you. Father, I pray for that person right now. I pray that they make a decision today to care about the lily on top, to make a decision for your son today. If that's you today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you could do so right now by praying this simple prayer with us. You see, a long time ago, God created everything and it was perfect. But leave it to man to mess all that up. It's easy to blame it on Adam and Eve, but the truth is, if it wasn't them, it would have been you and me. But through the good news of Jesus, God sent his son down to live a perfect life and die a brutal death, all to atone for our sins. And he rose again 3 days later, proving that he is God. And if you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior right now, you can do so by praying this prayer with us. Church, I want to encourage us all to pray this prayer out loud for that person who might just be a little too shy. But if that's you today, just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I admit I'm a sinner. And I believe you came and died for me. I believe you rose again 3 days later, proving that you were God. Jesus, I make you my Lord. Jesus, I make you my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you made that decision today, I'm just going to ask you to just raise that hand. Raise that hand and own this moment. The moment to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just raise that hand up high. No one's looking around right now. This is a moment between you and your pastor. Those of us joining us online, go ahead and raise a hand in the chat. At all of our campuses, we see you. Raise that hand. Hold that hand high. If you made a decision today, we're so proud of you and the decision you just made. Own this moment the same way Jesus owned all of our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for encouraging us with your word, Lord. We pray today that this message goes past the parking lot, that today we walk different, that today we care about things that most people don't care about, and they just don't get it because they don't have the lily on top. Let us think about your kingdom instead of ours. Let us think about what it means to have a relationship, a real, sacred, one-on-one relationship that no one else gets to have and no one else gets to see, Lord. But we know you see. It's in your name we pray. Amen.